This is West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:33. Over the past 2 years, 1,800 coal miners in Boone County have been laid off from work. That's a fifth of the county's total labor force. And the crisis doesn't show any signs of slowing. At the end of July, Alpha Natural Resources announced it expects to lay off 1,100 more workers at 11 mines in southern West Virginia. Catherine Moore with What's Next West Virginia went in search of the human side of these figures at the West Virginia Coal Festival, held every year at the end of June in Madison. In part one, she spoke with residents about how the layoffs are affecting everyday life and how they're thinking about the future. In this, the second and final part of the series, we hear how the layoffs are shaping the political landscape and how a man deeply impacted by the coal industry thinks about the future of coal.
The sirens of volunteer fire trucks signal the beginning of the West Virginia Coal Festival parade. Coal pageant queens smile and wave from convertibles. Men roll by in mining equipment, throwing candy to children. And politicians chase the coal vote. Republican Shelley Moore Capito and Democrat Natalie Tennant are competing for an empty U.S. Senate seat this year. Capito walks down State Street in a snappy red, white, and blue outfit, flanked by supporters in black shirts that read, "Coal Miners for Capito." Tennant, the current Secretary of State and a former mascot for West Virginia University's football team, the Mountaineers, shoots off her musket into the sky.
Ready?
But the reception from the crowd is a little chilly.
It's a coal festival. This ain't a damn campaign rally.
That heckler is Jerry Wilson.
My name's Jerry Wilson. I live at Little Horse Creek. Down here, Julian. Been here 77 years.
Jerry's a retired miner who dons a United Mine Workers baseball cap and stands on the lawn of the Boone County Courthouse, where a bronze statue pays tribute to coal miners past, present, and future.
Damn liberals ruined this country, honey. I'm telling you, I'm plain spoken. I don't care to tell you.
It's a common refrain at the coal festival. Democrats, especially President Obama and his administration's Environmental Protection Agency, are to blame for the recent layoffs. When I ask Jerry how he sees the future of Boone County, here's what he tells me.
Well, if Washington don't change, it's done. That's about the way I see it. So is West Virginia. West Virginia's coal, that's all.
So you see it all coming from the top. You don't think the folks at the bottom have a chance to decide what they want?
Jerry pauses for a long time before he says,
I don't know how it's going to work.
This anger at the top level of government over coal layoffs is remaking Boone County's political landscape.
Obama is the greatest gift to the Republican Party we've ever had. It's even respectable to be a Republican in Boone County now.
That's Larry Lyon with the Boone County Republicans and his wife, Wilma.
At one time, I heard one of my friends say to me, said, Wilma, I heard that you're marrying a Republican.
Until the last election, Boone County hadn't voted for a Republican presidential candidate for almost 30 years. But the popular perception that Obama's EPA is killing coal jobs is affecting the vote in big ways, says Larry.
I heard a guy from the Logan County Commission tell the EPA, he said, there will be consequences. And Logan County's voted Republican ever since.
He gestures to a table where Boone Countyans are registering to vote.
The people that register over there either register independent or Republican. Very few register Democrat now.
Among so many people I spoke to, there was this hope that if you could just get rid of Obama, things would be better. But there's evidence that's not the case. The recent tightening of emission standards on coal-burning power plants, which actually date back to Clean Air Act amendments under the Bush administrations, is just one of a host of factors at play. One of the major ones is simply scarcity. After more than 100 years of mining in West Virginia, there's less mineable coal, and what's left is harder to mine. That means it costs more to mine, and thus costs more to buy. Buyers are increasingly looking to lower-cost coal from other regions. A 2008 forecast by West Virginia University predicted that coal production in central Appalachia would fall by nearly 40% by 2030, due in part to the depletion of reserves. Several people at the coal festival told me some version of this statement. If you want to burn less coal to reduce carbon emissions and take care of the planet, fine. But
you introduce it
gradually. It's something that has to be 30, 40, 50 years worth of work.
But the people of Boone County may not have that long to wait. In 1995, U.S. Bureau of Mines predicted that the county only had 20 years worth of economically mineable coal left. That, of course, was almost exactly 20 years ago. Of all the people I interviewed at the Coal Festival, none saw a particularly bright future for Boone County, unless coal makes a comeback. It's coal or leave, they all said. Well, except for one.
My name is Carrie Albright. I am known as the miracle baby of the Buffalo Creek flood, currently living in Brooklyn, New York.
When a giant coal sludge dam burst on nearby Buffalo Creek in 1972, Carrie's mother and brother both drowned in the coal slurry, but not before throwing him to safety on the mountainside. He's working on a documentary about his story, and in the process, he's talked to a lot of locals about the coal issue. Some pro, some anti, but mostly
right in the middle. But they're just kind of confused. If they don't have this industry, then what do they have? Which is a very legitimate concern, and it's a legitimate question.
He says people feel stuck because they're just not seeing any other options.
They even feel themselves like they're putting all their eggs in one basket. To get another basket, it's something that they just can't do overnight.
Carrie says that instead of putting all our eggs in one basket, he'd like to see some planning for the future.
Whether we like it or not, coal is eventually going to leave, whether it's 300 years from now, 400 years from now, or tomorrow, because technology advances, everything advances. And I just really want the people of Boone and of West Virginia to plan for that event instead of waiting for the disaster to happen.
Carrie Albright has already survived one coal-related disaster, and he hopes he doesn't have to see another. For West Virginia Public Radio, in partnership with What'sNextWV.org, I'm Catherine Moore.
Well, a few hundred West Virginians gathered at the Tamarack Conference Center in Beckley yesterday afternoon to welcome former presidential candidate and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney to the state. Romney, the first Republican to win all 55 counties in West Virginia, stopped to lend his endorsements to the state's GOP candidates for Congress. Ashton Mara has more.
The crowded room chanted his name as Romney took the stage, joined by Shelley Moore Capito, Evan Jenkins, and Alex Mooney, all vying for congressional seats. The coal rhetoric was far from subtle, even from Romney, who easily molded himself into an industry supporter during his short five-minute address.
This is the team that's got to represent West Virginia and Washington, let me tell you, and they're going to stand for coal, for the people who work in the coal industry, the people throughout West Virginia that care about those miners and those jobs, and I'm proud.
In the days leading up to his visit, the state Democratic Party criticized their Republican opponents for inviting the former Massachusetts governor to the state, pointing to this statement Romney made in 2003. He was standing in front of a Salem, Massachusetts coal-fired power plant.
I will not create jobs or hold jobs that kill people. And that plant kills people.
Romney was pushing the plant to comply with new state emission standards at the time. When asked how he felt his stance would affect voters' perceptions of him in southern West Virginia, Romney responded,
"Actually, I'm not running for anything, so I don't need to worry too much about
she,
fortunately, she has her own positions, and she doesn't have to accept all of mine. But the other thing is, I did run for president twice, and I think I made it very clear in my presidential campaign that I'm a friend of coal."
Still, Capito, who stood next to Romney as he took questions from reporters, said she was proud to have his backing in her race against Democrat Natalie Tennant. State Senator Evan Jenkins, who made the switch from Democrat to Republican last summer, opened the Beckley event in the heart of the 3rd Congressional District. Jenkins is taking on current Congressman Nick Rahal.
We've got a congressman representing the 3rd Congressional District. He's done it for 38 years. It's time for him to get a warning notice that he's going to be out of job.
WARN notices are issued to coal miners when mines are in jeopardy of closing. 1,100 miners in southern West Virginia have been issued those notices in the past few weeks by Alpha Natural Resources. Jenkins attributes those losses to the president and his policy decisions. Mooney, who was running against Nick Casey for the seat Capito was vacating in the U.S. House, ventured out of his district for the rally and took time to introduce himself to the crowd a little more thoroughly than the others.
For those who don't know me, my name is Alex Mooney. I'm 43 years old, and I live with my family in Charlestown in Jefferson County. We're West Virginians by choice.
Mooney has been criticized for being an opportunist, moving to West Virginia from Maryland to run for the 2nd District seat. But he says that's played out.
Actually, that already played out in the primary, and the voters were more interested in the issues. I think it's a distraction that Nick Casey and the Democrats will continue to bring up. And they can bring up if they want. I'll talk about the issues that matter to the voters of West Virginia.
Romney, though, seemed to overshadow West Virginia's candidates in the few minutes he spent with the media after the event. He openly criticized the way the president is handling foreign affairs in Iraq, Syria, and Russia. Reporters even asked about a third bid for the presidency.
A lot of people are talking about you running again in 16. Surely you must be thinking about it right here on the campaign trail.
I've actually answered that one a lot of times. I'm not running there. I'm expecting to be getting behind some good people or a good person who will be.
Romney headed from West Virginia to North Carolina and plans to make additional campaign stops in the coming months in Virginia, Arkansas, and Colorado. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Beckley.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:44. And thunderstorms in our forecast today. Heavy rain is possible. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Rain and thunderstorms continue tonight with lows in the 50s and 60s. And rain and thunderstorms in our forecast through Friday. College football doesn't just happen in Huntington or Morgantown in the fall Saturdays in the state. Clark Davis has more about the upcoming season in the Mountain East Conference.
The Shepherd Rams were picked by league coaches to repeat as conference champs for the upcoming season in just the second season of the Mountain East Conference. Shepherd collected 95 points in the preseason poll and was picked to finish first on 7 different coaches' ballots in the 12-team conference. Concord was picked to finish second and collected 3 first-place votes, and the University of Charleston was third, receiving 2 first-place votes. Shepherd head coach Monty Cater didn't expect the preseason pick of number 1.
I'm shocked that we're picked to finish first because of the losses that we have, but we like the idea of that challenge, and I know our guys have worked very, very hard. We've got some great leadership on this football team, and we're excited about what we have to face here just in a few weeks as far as that first football game up at West Liberty.
Despite the losses, Shepherd returned 7 starters on offense and 5 on defense from the team that captured the MEC championship. Shepherd didn't lose a game in the conference before advancing to the quarterfinals in the NCAA Division II playoffs. They finished 11-1 on the year. Cater is encouraged by his team.
I think we've got some good people back on offense. We're going to have to be a little bit more productive than we were last year, not think about the defense, keeping everybody from able to run the football and having to throw. Those are great things to have happen. But, I know we're going to be better defensively. We have to be better offensively, and that's going to be one of those big challenges that we're going to have.
Glenville State was picked to finish 4th in the preseason poll. 4 of their 5 losses last season came by 7 points or less on the way to a 6-5 record. Glenville State head coach David Hutchison hopes the preseason pick of 4 is a little low.
I will be, ranked 4th. That might be right. It might be wrong. We're hoping higher than that. Obviously, our goals are higher than that. But, how fast can we come together? How fast can we become a team, a family, and all those things is what's going to, dictate that by the end of the season.
Hutchison says his staff is always looking for new talent.
Overall, our staff has been working hard, still recruiting, still pounding the phones, working right up until school start in that regard.
Shepherd coach Monty Cater says in the new conference, it's tough each week no matter who they play.
Every week is going to be a challenge, and we were able to get through the conference last year without a loss, but you look at a 7-point win against Urbana, you look at a shootout unfortunate win in the last game of the season with Concord. A lot of ball games that we were challenged, and that's with the best defense we've probably ever had. It is a tremendous conference, and it's exciting to go to work every day, but you're going to get challenged.
The conference schedule kicks off September 4th with Notre Dame traveling to Fairmont to take on Fairmont State. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We always welcome your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.